Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. As we look at our scripture this morning, especially our gospel in particular, it's important for us to remember what happened last week. So what came right before this gospel? So at the beginning of this gospel, we see the disciples being told by Jesus to get into a boat, and the crowd is dispersing. Well, why was that crowd there? If you remember from last week's gospel, Jesus just did the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. So he just fed the crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. The disciples who were there who witnessed this great miracle, the apostles there who witnessed this great miracle. And so then we come to today's gospel. So in today's gospel, as we just heard, the apostles are on the Sea of Galilee. There's this great storm happening. Jesus, who's taking time away from everyone and is communing with the Father in prayer up on the mountain, he goes across the sea, walking on water to meet the disciples on the boat. They think he's a ghost, but then realize that it's actually Jesus. We see Peter, our first pope, who goes out and walks on water, sinks into the ocean, but then Jesus saves him, pulls him up. And at the end of the time, we know that Jesus, right after Peter sinks into the ocean, he kind of rebukes Peter by saying, "Oh, you of little faith." And I don't know about y'all, but when I heard that, I was like, wow, like, where's Jesus coming from? Well, if you think about it, the disciples, the apostles, they just saw Jesus with this great miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fishes. They just witnessed this amazing miracle. And still they doubt that Jesus would be the one walking on water. Peter doubts that he could walk towards Jesus when he says, "Come." So then I think, all right, Jesus, maybe he had a little bit of a credit to rebuke Peter there. But then also I kind of think of what about Peter and the rest of the disciples or apostles in the boat, of their lack of faith. And I think in my own life, of I've seen God provide for me time and time and time again, and bless my life. And there's still times where I don't trust him. There's still times where I might have doubt that he's not going to provide for me. And so then I sympathize a little bit with those apostles, those disciples in the boat. So my brothers and sisters, we're going to dive even deeper into the gospel today. So with our gospel reading, we know it's a historical event that it happened about 2,000 years ago, that it actually happened. It's not just a story. We also know that it was recorded in Scripture, the Holy Word of God. That is a living Word. Scripture that still is called to pierce our hearts today in the year 2020. And so as we allow Scripture to pierce our hearts, we can enter into this story. So let's enter in, imagining that we're on the boat in that sea. And that the sea, the waves, the storm, what is that storm for us now? I think that's a pretty easy question as I look at all of you in masks, right? That we have the coronavirus is a great storm that we're going through together as humanity, as a world. But there's also other huge waves that are coming at us. Maybe that's the death of a loved one recently, or a loved one who's struggling with a sickness. Maybe there's a future wedding that's going to be happening soon that can cause stress or cause uneasiness for us of what's going to happen with that wedding. Or maybe there's school coming up. So a lot of you are unsure of what school's going to look like. Will you be in the classroom? Will you be at home or online? Are we going to have a full year of school? And one thing, a hurricane that's coming, my brothers and sisters, that I know is probably on some of your hearts and minds, is election season. A huge hurricane that's going to rock our boat in this country. I don't care if you're going to vote Democrat or Republican or Libertarian, or if you're going to write in Kanye West's name. It's going to be a rough storm, a hurricane that's coming. That's going to cause an uneasiness in your heart, in your families, in your workplace. It's coming. For me, another little storm that could happen is if we don't have college football season. That could be a big wave that could hit my boat. And I know we have to make sure we're protecting the players, so if it doesn't happen, that's okay. But that also could be a wave for me in my life that causes my boat to rock. So in light of that college football season, I want to come up with a game plan for us, both you individually as a family as well, of how we can get through this storm, especially the coming storm of the hurricane of the election season, that we can have a game plan now as disciples of Jesus Christ who want to be able to enter in the storm and continue in the storm with peace in our lives, with trust in God's plan for our lives, trusting He's going to help us get through the storm to calmer waters, whenever that may be. So for this game plan, first off, we got to remember that we're listening to the coach, right? So our coach, Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus, it's necessary for us to take time to pray each and every day. Not that we could say, oh, my life is a prayer and that's my prayer. No, the Catechism asks us to take time each and every day to set apart a part of our day for Jesus, to be able to talk with Him, to listen with Him, to be able to talk to our coach about our life, about the game. And so whenever we're talking with our coach, it's a really, for us as human beings, we're creatures of habit. So we're going to be able to have that time of prayer each and every day if we have a certain place in our house where we go to pray. So whether that's a certain chair, maybe that's going out on your back porch, maybe that's somewhere in your bedroom or your living room, if you don't already have it, find a particular place in your house for prayer. And then go there at the same time each day. I suggest early in the morning that you get up 10, 15 minutes earlier, even if it's with a cup of joe, that's what I do, to be able to just sit with Jesus in the quiet before your day starts. To be able to talk with Coach, with Jesus, about your life. And to be able to listen to Him as well. Because we heard in the first reading today that Elijah was up on the mountain and he didn't hear God in the storm. He didn't hear God in the tornado or the earthquake or the fire. He heard God in the silence, in the whisper. And my brothers and sisters, that's how our God communes with us. But I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm sitting in that silence, I'm not used to it because our culture does not support silence anymore. We always have to be doing something. We always have to be going. We always have to be listening to something, being entertained. So sometimes when I sit in that silence, I want to grab for my iPhone and check my messages or check Facebook or social media or check the news. My brothers and sisters, when we're sitting in the silence and we start feeling that urge to be entertained, to be satisfied, that's the longing, that's the call of God to commune with Him so that we can come to have a habit instead of trying to numb that silence, numb that longing with technology, with other things, that we allow that longing to commune with God, to have intimacy with God. And so I encourage you in your prayer space, don't have the TV on, don't have a computer nearby or a cell phone or iPad or whatever you use for technology, but have a Bible there, have the daily readings there, have a journal there, a rosary, whatever it may be that you can enter into prayer so that each and every day you're talking with Coach, talking with Jesus about the game, about your life. All right, so me, as I'll say, as the offensive coordinator right now, is I encourage you, as we're coming up with this game plan, if you have a pen in your purse or whatever it may be, or if you have your phone, feel free to take notes during this. If you don't desire to do that, hopefully you're taking mental notes. Because the challenge at the end of this is I'm going to ask you to go and make the game plan and to cover each of these areas I'm going to talk about. So feel free to take notes if that helps you out. All right, so we talked about Coach. Now we need to know who are the other players in the game, right? So first off, we know that if you're married, you have your spouse. So important in this time, especially in the storm, that we're communicating and we're communing with our spouse. My brothers and sisters, there's a lie in our culture today, especially in the Christian culture, that my whole life as a married couple should be devoted to my children. And yes, that's important. But first, as a married couple, the first person in your relationship should be God. The second person should be your spouse, and then your children. If you have that order flipped to where your children become before your spouse, you're going to have problems in your marriage. How important it is, yes, procreation, bringing about kids, the first good of marriage. But the second good is that unitive aspect, to where you know your spouse, the one that you're trying to help get to heaven, the one that you said I do to before God and His people. And so I encourage, if you don't already do this, maybe once a month, that you have a night where you and your spouse get away from the kids, get away from work, and you go get to know each other. You go for prayer. You go for a meal. You watch a show together. You talk about how finances are going. You talk about how your relationship was going, how your sex life is going. The importance of you during this time in the storm to make sure you and your spouse are united as you go through these waves. All right, so we know that we're not only the only player on the field. There's more than just the quarterback. We know we got the wide receivers, the running backs. So but after our spouse, maybe it's our children, our grandchildren, or anybody else who lives in our home. What does our home life look like during this storm? That together with our spouse or whoever's living with us, that we come up with a plan as a household. Maybe we have meals together two or three times a week. Maybe we have at least once a week where we're coming together for prayer. Maybe reading the readings before the Sunday comes, the readings for that coming Sunday, we sit down and read together. Maybe it's a rosary we pray. Whatever it may be, to make sure that our household is centered on Christ. Not just us as an individual, but all who live with us. So as we're going through these waves, that we're there for each other as we go through that storm, that we're there to care for each other, check in with each other, and to make sure that we're keeping our household rooted on Christ. All right, so we know who the other players are. We know who the coach is. Now, one caution I have for you, my brothers and sisters, is we don't want to get a penalty or get ejected from the game for targeting. We want to make sure that we're still in the game in this life. And ways that we could get penalties that can come upon us, especially in a time where there's a storm in our culture and in our lives, when we're tired, when we're lonely, when we're stressed, when we're angry, that's when sin and temptation can try to derail us, try to help us sink into the storm, just like Peter, where we take our eyes off Jesus and we put our eyes instead on those temptations. And each of you know what are those strongest things for you, whether it's going to the bottle and drinking too much, whether it's going to impure sites online, whether it's going to gossip, whether it's going to spending too much money on frivolous things, whatever that may be for you, that you're aware of it, and whenever it comes, whenever it rears its ugly head, that you also have a plan, whether that's going for a jog, whether that's calling a friend, whether that's reading an awesome book, or trying to help yourself find good leisure instead of going to that empty well that the devil wants you to go drink from. So that's the first penalty that could eject you out of the game. The second one, especially with election season coming up, is I encourage you to be careful about your media usage. Social media, the news that you watch, I don't care if it's Fox News or CNN, whichever one, if it's just blaring on the TV all day and all night, if you're constantly checking your social media, it's gonna rock your boat, especially in the coming months. So what is it for you that you need to set boundaries for to be able to make sure you still have an inner peace and you don't let the outside desires and anxieties of the world to rock your boat in the coming months? So maybe you only say, all right, only 15, 30 minutes I'm going to be online. 15, 30 minutes I'm going to watch the news and that's it. And then I have to do something else. Set that parameter for yourself. And right now, as families who are here or friends, you can remind each other. All right, remember what Father Chris said? You're watching too much TV. The news is starting to change you and affect you. You're losing your peace because of what's happening in our world and what's happening in our country with the politics. So set that for yourself. Make it part of your game plan. All right, so with our game plan, prayer, talking with the coach, looking at our household, how are we going to keep progressing in these next couple of months to where we make sure Christ is the center of our homes? And then what are those penalties that could eject us out of the game, that could totally capsize our boat if we're not careful? My brothers and sisters, my challenge to you all is when you go home this week, before you come back to Mass, take some time of prayer to come up with that game plan for the next couple months. And then talk about it as a family, talk about it as a couple, so you can keep each other accountable to your game plan. Because the waters are rough right now, and I guarantee they're going to get rougher in the coming months. And the Lord is there with us. He's not abandoning us. And with faith, we're going to be able to navigate these waters with Christ. So Jesus isn't going to take away the storm, The storm's still going to be there, and it's going to be there the rest of our lives. It's just going to look different. But when we take that step out of the boat with our eyes fixed on Jesus, just like Peter, when our eyes are fixed on the Lord, then we're going to be able to make it. We're going to be able to have hope that even if it seems like we're drowning, that the Lord's not going to let us drown. He's always going to be there for us. And so I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, go home and make that game plan. And recognize that Jesus is always inviting you to come to Him. No matter if that's a deeper relationship with Him, because you've already started to walk towards Him, or whether it's the first time that you're starting to take that step towards Him. Whichever it may be, the invitation is always there. He'll never refuse you. And whenever you accept that invitation, when you open your heart to Him, you'll hear Him say in the whisper, in the silence, just like He did to Peter, "Do not be afraid. It is I. Take courage."